Our subject title has been Just a Dime. Our theme is on the area of tithing. In our first lesson, we talked about what is the tithe, and we discovered that the tithe is a thing. It's 10% of our increase, the believer's increase. We talked about where the tithe should be given to the local church, where you have been directed to join or where you're being spiritually fed. And we talked about the twofold purpose for the tithe. That's to finance God's work in the earth and to bless God's people. We talked about that. Then last week, we began to talk about what is tithing. Tithing is an act. The tithe is a thing, but tithing is an act. Now, last week we learned that tithing is worship. Now, I asked this question. Sunday. Whenever you hear something, you should act out on it. Okay. I know that you have churches and everybody ain't a member of Faith Chapel. How many of you are a member somewhere else? You're a member somewhere else? Okay, good. Okay. I don't want to get personal. Did you bring any tithe Sunday? Did y'all do anything with y'all tithe? Did you spend a little time with it? Great. In other words, you tithing is what? It's worship. And that's what we talked about. And before I brought tithe, before I left home, I tithe the tithe. You know, we put our tithes together. We get money from different places. And Pete and I, you know, so we spoke some things over the tithe and worship God with our tithe. You should do that on a regular basis. It's going to be a blessing for you. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at four more truths about what tithing is. And we're going to look at in the scriptures and see the first mentioning of the tithe. Now, it's important that we look at the first mentioning of the tithe. That's going to be over in Genesis chapter 14. Because there is as it relates to studying the scriptures, the Bible tells us to study the scripture. There is an interpretive principle called the law of first mention. The law of first mention. Will you put that up there? I want you to look at this. The law of first mention deals with understanding, to understand a particular word or doctrine, or you could put a concept. We must find the first place in Scripture that the word or the doctrine is revealed, and we studied that passage. The first mention of a concept, law, or principle is the simplest and clearest presentation of the doctrine, and the doctrine is more fully developed on that foundation. And that is an interpretive principle, that whenever you're studying a principle, a concept, or a doctrine, this law, the law first mentioned, states that you go back to the first place where it was mentioned. Because in the first place where it was mentioned, it is the simplest and clearest explanation of what's going on there. In other words, God goes from the basic to the more complex. He starts off with a concept and then he builds on it through scripture. So the first mentioning of someone giving the tithe is over in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. Now, give you a brief summary of what was happening there in Genesis chapter 13, and you can go back and read it. The livestock of Lot and Abraham had grown. In other words, they were both wealthy and the land couldn't support them. So Abraham recommended that Lot separate himself from them. So Lot took the Jordanian Valley and Abraham stayed in Hebron. That's very important. Scripture says that Lot, while he was down in the Jordanian Valley, the scripture says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then another scripture says that he was in Sodom. Okay, so he's down there and a war broke out. When the war broke out, Lot was captured and was taken away, he and his family and his possessions. Someone escaped from the war, went back and told Abraham. Abraham took 318 of his own household servants and went and recaptured Lot and brought back all the property. On the way back, he met two kings. He met Melchizedek and he met the king of Sodom. That's the upshot of it, okay? Now we're gonna begin to look at the text, and there's some things that I wanna share with you about the text. And as we look at the text, we are learning something. We are learning, okay, what are we doing when we tithe? We're not just dropping money in the offering plate. We're not just writing out a check and send it in. There's something that we're doing when we tithe. So let's go to Genesis chapter 14, and let's go back up to verse 14. It says, and when Abram heard that his brother, that's Lot, his nephew, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. That was a 120-mile pursuit. Verse 15. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. Verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now, the reason why I want you to go back and look at the text and study the text out, because Abram took 318 of his household servants and he went out and fought a war against four armies. Now, Abram was not a soldier. He was not a military person. He was a shepherd. So to overcome four shepherds, that had to be something that was very supernatural. And that's so very important, because as a tither, God wants to do some very supernatural things in your life. Okay, now let's read on, because he's going to meet two kings on the way back. Verse 16 again. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, that's his nephew, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him. Now the king of Sodom was a wicked king, and he represents the world system. Okay, now watch this. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Shelemir, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. I want to stop there for a moment at verse 18. Now, on the way back from this great victory, Abram met Melchizedek. Now, let's talk about him for just a moment. The text says that Melchizedek was a priest and a king, and it says that he brought back forth bread and wine. Now, listen very carefully as I give you some explanation about that. Melchizedek was a historical figure. He was a real person. Now, there are a lot of debate about who this individual was. Some said that Melchizedek was an angel. Some said that Melchizedek was a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he came on the scene. But Melchizedek was a person. He was a historical figure. Now, when we look over in Hebrews chapter 7, it says that Melchizedek was without beginning of days and end of days. It doesn't mean that he wasn't born and he didn't die. It simply means that the Holy Spirit does not record his birth, his genealogy, does not record his death. Why? Because Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ. He foreshadowed Jesus Christ. Now, what is a type? T-Y-P-E. A type is a figure or representation of something or someone to come. Now, we have some evidence that he was a type, or he foreshadowed, or he represented Jesus Christ, because the Bible says he brought forth bread and wine. These are symbols. Now, remember, this is a type. The bread and the wine is a type of the Lord's table, the communion. The bread, the body of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus. We have also some other evidence in this verse that he was a type of Jesus Christ, in that, watch this now, he was a priest and a king. Now, that's very, very significant, because in the Old Testament economy, the altar, the priesthood, and the throne, kingship, was separate. In other words, the priest could not intrude into the kingship, and the king could not enter into the priesthood. In the Old Testament economy, God separated the two, almost like a check and balance kind of situation, okay? Almost like a check and balance situation. Now, that tells us that Melchizedek was a very special individual, because no one else in the Old Testament is considered, other than David, and David is also a type of Jesus Christ, is considered a priest and a king. So we know that this person here represents someone greater to come. Someone greater to come. Now watch this. Let's look. We are learning about what tithing is, because he's going to do something. Watch this. Look at what it says in verse 18 again. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. So we right there see a distinction between the king of Salem, who was a wicked king, and Melchizedek, who was a righteous person. Look at what it says in verse 19. And Melchizedek blessed him. Melchizedek blessed Abram. Now, listen to what he said in verse 19. Listen to what he said. He said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. So Melchizedek says that Abraham, or Abram, is blessed, and he's a servant of the Most High God. Then he gives some descriptive language about God. He says he's the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, that's Melchizedek talking. That's Melchizedek. Melchizedek says that Abram, that same person, is the servant of the Most High God. And this Most High God is the possessor of heaven and earth. The word possessor of heaven and earth simply means he's the creator and the owner. So right there, Melchizedek, who is a priest, says that God is the possessor of heaven and earth, that God is the owner of everything. None of us will ever be owners. God owns everything. We're only possessors in this life. We're only stewards in this life. We don't own a simple thing. That's why when we die, we can't carry anything with us, because we're only possessors. God is the only one who owns everything. He's the only one who creates everything. Now, that's what Melchizedek said. Now, watch this. Look at the next verse. And blessed be, verse 20, the Most High God, now Melchizedek saying this, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. So Melchizedek said two things. I want you to get this, because this is very important. He said that God is the owner and creator of everything. And Melchizedek said, it was God who delivered you from your enemies. In other words, You took 318 men and went and defeated four armies, and you didn't do that in your power. It was God that delivered you. Now, on the heels of that, in other words, Melchizedek is saying that God is your source. God was the source of your victory. Now, on the heels or in response to that, it says, and Abraham gave him tithes of all. Now, something is very significant here. Something is very significant here. Because there is many Christians who believe that tithing is legalistic, that tithing is under the law, and because we are under the new covenant, that we're not required to tithe, okay? Now, this is significant. Remember the law first mentioned. This is the first time that we have a record of someone giving a tithe, and the Bible says that Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. This is hundreds of years. It is what? Hundreds of years before the law was given. Okay? If tithing had originated with the law, then that would be a legitimate thing, a legitimate point. But this is hundreds of years, over 400 years before the law was given, we see a man giving tithes to Abraham. Now, what is he doing when he gives him tithes? What is he doing, and what are we doing when we give him tithes? Last week, we realized that we are worshiping God when we tithe, okay? What was Abraham doing when he gave him tithes of all? Well, Melchizedek said that God is the possessor of the heavens and the earth. He's the owner and creator of everything. When Abraham gave Melchizedek the tithe, he was acknowledging what Melchizedek said, that God was the creator and the owner. So that's the second thing. Whenever you're bringing tithe, you are acknowledging that God is the owner of everything. The second thing that Abraham is doing is he's acknowledging the word that Melchizedek said, it was God who delivered you out of the hands of your enemies. So he's acknowledging that God is not just the owner and the creator. He's acknowledging that God is our source. So whenever you tithe, you are acknowledging, thirdly, that God is your source. You're not your source. Your job is not your source. Your business is not your source. People is not your source. But you are acknowledging that God is your source. So tithe when we tithe, we are worshiping. When we tithe, we are acknowledging that God is the owner of everything. And thirdly, when we tithe, we're acknowledging that God is our source. Now I want you to look at verse 21 and look at verse 20 through verse 23. 21 through verse 23. Are you getting anything out of this? Does this make sense? I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask questions, okay? And ask any questions. You can even ask hard questions because Naomi answered all the hard questions. I refer all the hard questions to her. So you can ask any hard questions. But now watch this. Look at what it says. Verse 29. And the king of Sodom, remember this is a wicked king, said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, watch this, the possessor of heaven and earth, that, verse 23, that I will not take from thee a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Okay? When you look at scripture, it's all right to ask questions. Okay? It's all right to ask questions. Now, I have a question. He said, the king of Sodom, who represents the world system, says, okay, give me the people, you take the booty, you take all the things. Then Abram said, no, no, I have stretched my hand to God. Now listen to what he says. I've stretched my hand to God, the possessor of heaven and earth. So he is agreeing what Melchizedek says. Right? Because Melchizedek said it first. Now he's saying, I stretched my hand. We have no record when he stretched his hand. When did he stretch his hand? When did he stretch his hand? Okay. He's saying, when I brought tithe, when I gave tithe to someone superior, God's priest, I was saying and agreeing and acknowledging that God is the owner of everything. Amen. He said, I have stretched my hand to God and I have made a commitment to God that I'm not going to take anything from you. Right. And you're not going to be able to say that you made Abraham rich. When did he say that? We have no record that he said that. He said that in his actions. He said that in his tithing. When he tithed, he was declaring, and that's number four, he was declaring his independence from the world system. That's what you're doing when you're tithing. You're declaring your independence from the world system, that you are not going to look to the world system to make you rich.
Amen. Amen.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Amen.
You getting anything on this? Okay. Now let's drop down to the first verse of the 15th chapter. Now I want you to listen how God responds to him. And we're going to look at the fifth thing. What is tithing? Tithing is worship. What is tithing? Tithing is not acknowledging that God is the owner of everything. What is tithing? Tithing is acknowledging that God is our source. What is tithing? Tithing is a declaration of our independence from the world system. And finally, what is tithing? Tithing is an act of faith. It is a what? That's the act of faith. Now look at verse 1 of the 15th chapter. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Now question, after what things? After what things? Talk to me. After what things? After what things? Huh?
All things.
After his tithing.
Okay. In the context is after he paid, after he's given tithe to Melchizedek, after he's acknowledged that God is the owner, after he's acknowledged that God is his source, after he's declared his independence from the world, then God responds. Now watch what God says. Fear not, said to him in a vision, fear not. Why? Because tithing is an act of faith. It's a bold act when you declare your independence from the world. So it's a bold act.
Amen.
And Satan will try to intimidate you. He'll try to intimidate you. You ain't gonna be able to make it. You're not gonna be able to make it. No, that money right there could help you. You're not going to be able. And then God says, watch this, fear not. It's an act of faith. Every time I do something by faith, I have to govern myself and not let myself get in fear. Now, I know some of you may have great faith and stuff like that, but I still feel some fear.
Yes, sir.
Whenever I come, coming down here, I feel a little fear coming down here. Think about it. I'm coming down here. Don't know nobody down here. You put me out on the streets. I couldn't even find my way around here. And I'm down here talking about we're going to start a church down here. I'm out of my comfort zone. Anytime you're walking by faith, you're going to be outside of your comfort zone. That's
Amen.
True of tithing. That's true of giving. That's
Amen.
True of following
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And you have to fear not. You have to choose to not fear.
Mm.
You have to choose. It's a choice that you make. When he said fear not means I don't have to be afraid. I can choose to not be afraid. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Now watch this. God is going to say something that we're going to develop next week. He says fear not. It's an act of faith. I am your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm your shield. That's your protection. He said, I'm going to be your protection. Now, you have to understand, in the context, he's just overcome four armies. And just because you win one battle don't mean you're not going to have to fight another one. The Bible says when the unclean spirit leaves a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return. That's Satan's MO. He will return. In other words, he says, Abram, you're going to have to fight some more battles. You're going to have to stand. But don't worry about it. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your protection. And then he says a second thing. I'm going to be your exceeding great reward. Now that's provision. That's provision. So now the blessing is given definition. We're going to expound on it. The blessing. The Bible says Melchizedek blessed him. And we're going to begin to see next week that every tither has a right to have an expectation of protection and provision. Protection and provision. Now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to connect this. Let's connect this to the New Testament, because here again, there are people who say, well, you know, and I try to answer all the questions of people, because when I first got in the Word, I had all these questions, still got questions. Now, people say, well, you know, Bible doesn't say anything about tithing in the New Testament. You hear people say, you don't say nothing about New Testament. And Paul is the apostle of grace, and he didn't talk about any tithing. Well, Romans, listen at this. You can write this text down. We won't look at it. Romans 4, 7 through 13. It says that Abraham is not just the father of the Jews. Abraham is the father of all those who walk by faith. And the Bible instructs believers to walk in the step of our father Abraham.
That's right.
Not Moses. Doesn't tell us to walk in Moses' step. It tells us to walk in the steps of Abraham. Now look at Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. In the New Testament, remember, there are types and shadows in the Old Testament. When you get to the book of Hebrews, and that's why, you know, my wife, Pete, said, I don't need all that. she said, I don't need all that. She said, just tell me what to do. That was my wife, 40 years been married. She said, just tell me what to do. I don't be needing all that. Okay, but I'm teaching to a lot of different kinds of folk. Okay, I'm teaching to folk who are students. I'm teaching the folk who want to make the connections. I'm teaching the folk who hearing all kinds of things. So I have to talk about all this kind of stuff. Okay, I have to talk about all this kind of stuff. Okay, when you begin to read the book of Hebrews, remember the book of Hebrews is about, it can be defined in one word, greater, greater, greater. I'm convinced, and many scholars believe this, the Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Hebrews. He is the author. So when people say, well, Paul didn't say anything about the, Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews. The word, the book of Hebrews about greater. In other words, it starts off talking about Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Then it talks about Jesus' sacrifice is greater than the animal sacrifice. The heavenly tabernacle is greater than the tabernacle in the wilderness. But he also talks about the priesthood of Jesus. That the priesthood of Jesus is greater than the Levitical priesthood. So in that context, you have to understand that when we read the Hebrews, we're looking for Jesus. And the scripture says that Jesus is our priest. Look at what it says in Hebrews 3:1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. The word profession there is the word confession. And it's the word acknowledgement. Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our confession, of our acknowledgement. Okay? So you're going to be taking your tithe to Jesus. That's what we taught last week. And he will watch over. He is the guardian of your acknowledgement. He's the one that's going to bless you. Not the church, not the preacher, not people. He is the one who's responsible. So he is our high priest in this day. Now look at Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read verse 19 down through Hebrews chapter 7 verse 8. Once I read the context, then I'm going to come back and we're going to compare the Levitical priesthood to the priesthood of Christ. Got it? Okay. Hebrews, are y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Y'all getting anything out of this? Do I need to give y'all any coffee, anything like that? Okay. Y'all not feeling like P did. P said, well, I don't need all that. My wife, I don't need all that. You don't need all that stuff. I don't need all that stuff. But some of y'all like me. How many like me? I know that brother like me. Oh, yeah, I want that stuff. I had a guy come up to me Sunday, and he said, Pastor, you answer some questions for me, Pastor. And he worked in a barbershop, and he said, we were discussing this, and I didn't know where I was going to go with it. Here's the thing. As believers, we need to have an answer for others. Okay? We don't need to just say, well, my church believe. No. When you're out there in the world, a part of your witness, you need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to say, okay, this is why I do this, and this is why this happened. Don't just say, well, you know, Pastor Mike said, you know, our church believe. No, that's dumb. That's dumb. I used to hear people say that. Dumb. You know, when I was growing up, I was a Presbyterian Baptist. That means I was in the Baptist church and the Presbyterian church at the same time. And so my pastor, very intellectual man, the Presbyterian pastor. See, I had a Baptist pastor too, Presbyterian pastor. And so he was very intelligent. I'd be sitting there like, what are you talking about? He just talking and stuff like that. What you talking about? And I just wish I could ask a question. I think, why we do? See, I always had these questions. I ain't putting nobody down. I'm talking about me. I'm thinking, you know, why we are sprinkling these people. I mean, I wanted to know that. You know, I wanted to know that. I don't know. Why are we drinking real wine? See, in my church, they drunk real wine. And I was thinking, like, man, what's somebody struggling with alcohol? They come in here, and we feeding the addiction. I mean, you know, I had all these questions. That's why I don't have any problem with questions. I like to get in this thing. I like to talk about this thing, find out what's going on. And it's all right if you don't agree. Fine with me. Long as you know what you know, can intelligent. Don't be talking about, I did do that, yeah. No, I want you to stand up intelligent. You're a believer. You're an ambassador. When you go out these doors, you should know what you are talking about. You should know this. We should know this. Okay, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I'm near the end, y'all. I'm near the end. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the veil, within the veil, whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus. So he goes behind the veil. That's symbolic of the heavenly tabernacle. He's going into the Holy of Holies, and he's made a priest forever after the order of who? So Jesus' priesthood is after the order of who? Melchizedek. Look at verse 1 of the 7th chapter. For this Melchizedek, we just got through reading about him, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave 10th part of all. We just read that. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, after that, king of Salem, which is king of peace. So we know this is Jesus Christ. We know he foreshadowed Jesus Christ because Jesus is the king of righteousness. Jesus is the king of peace. Verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now, notice carefully that the scripture says that Melchizedek had no beginning. There's no record of his birth, no record of his death. Not because he wasn't a historical character, but the Holy Spirit kept that silent so that he would foreshadow someone greater. Jesus had no beginning. Jesus had no ending. Now, let's read on. The scripture says he's made like unto the Son of God, which tells us he was not a pre-incarnate Jesus. He was not Jesus coming. He was like Jesus. He was like Jesus, or he represented Jesus. Now, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come of the loins of Abraham. And he, Melchizedek, whose descent is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Now, tithing is for today. Tithing is for today. Melchizedek is presented in the New Testament as a type of Jesus Christ priesthood. What we've just read is tithing under two priesthoods. Tithing under the Aaron order and tithing under the Melchizedek order. So let's kind of, it ain't going to take us long, let's briefly look at these two priesthoods. We'll say this group over here, this is the Leviticus priesthood. We'll say you over here represents Christ's priesthood, okay? Now, let's look at verse 11, Hebrews 7, verse 11. It says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, For under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and be not called after the order of Aaron? Right there in that particular text, we see two orders. Anybody see them? What are they? The order of Melchizedek and the order of Aaron. That's two orders. The order of Aaron, the order of Melchizedek. Now let's look at verse 5. Let's look at verse 5. Verily they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now notice it talks about the tribe of Levi. Under the Aaron order, every priest had to be born in the tribe of Levi. Their genealogy had to start with Levi. If you were not born in the priest, there were 12 tribes. If you were not born in the tribe of Levi, you could not be a priest after the order of Aaron. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord, that's Jesus, sprang out of Judah, of which the Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So Jesus' priesthood came out of, Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. So we got Levi, the tribe of Levi. We got the tribe of Judah. Okay. The Levitical priests were born in the tribe of Levi. Jesus was born in the tribe of Judah. Okay. Let's look at verse 5 again. It says, verily, they are the sons of Levi who received the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to what?
The law.
According to what?
The law.
According to what?
The law.
Well, let's look now at verse 3 again. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now, the Levitical priests, they received tithes under the law. Okay? Jesus' priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek. That took place 430 years before the law was given. So Abraham was paying tithes to Melchizedek, not because of the law, had nothing to do with the law. It predated the law. How many can see that? Okay, let's look at Hebrews 7:8 again. It says, here men that die receive what? Tithe. Okay, that's referring to the Levitical priesthood. Now let's look at verse 23. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of what?
Yeah.
So those under the Levitical priesthood had a time limit. They served at a maximum about 30 years. They couldn't continue the priesthood because they were going to die. Okay. Does that make sense? Now let's look at verse 8 again. It says, here men that die receive tithes, but what?
There.
He what?
Received them.
Okay. There's a contrast. What is that saying? Here men that die receive tithes, but there he what?
Received.
Who is that? There he received them. There he received them. Who is that talking about?
Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus Christ. It says that Jesus there, and we know he's in heaven. The Bible says there he receives our tithes. I'm going to let that settle for a moment. Hear me in the die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them. There he what?
Receiveth.
Now watch the last words. Of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. That's literally saying, the very fact that he can receive our tithes is proof that he's alive.
That's right.
The very fact that he can what? Receive our tithes, it is proof that he is alive. The very fact that he can what? Receive our tithes is proof that he, that's what a witness is, they give proof. It is proof that Jesus is alive.
I'm
going to let that settle for a minute. Now look at verse 24. But this man, that's Jesus now, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. The Levitical priesthood, they died out. They gave under the law. We're not tithing under the Levitical priesthood. We're tithing to Jesus under the order of Melchizedek. And we will continue to tithe because his priesthood has no end. Okay, here's the good news. That was good, but here's good news. If Melchizedek blessed Abraham, then Jesus bless us. And God gave definition to what that blessing is. He thou be your shield.
Come on now. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to be your exceeding
great reward.
Great reward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, what's left for us to discuss is the provision side. Because we got to know what the windows of heaven blessing is. We know it ain't money coming down through the sky.
My Lord, come on.
So we got to know what the windows of heaven blessing is. That's the provision. Mm-hmm. And then we got to know what he means when he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Mm-hmm.
That's provision. That's protection. That's what you should be believing for, to just drop money in the bucket. You're wasting your time. Now, the church will get blessed, but you're not going to get blessed.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You should have an expectation when you tithe. An expectation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I'm expecting provision.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
expecting protection.
Yes. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.